Lesson 5. Intonation. When we listen to music, we recognize a tune. Listen. The tune or melody is made by the sounds or notes going up and down. In the same way, languages have a tune or melody. This is called the intonation of the language. Intonation is important because it is an extra signal which helps us to understand the speaker's attitude. In English, different intonation patterns used on the same word or group of words tell us what the speaker is really thinking. Listen to the following patterns on the word yes. 1.
Yes.
This is a falling tone. 2.
Yes.
This is a rising tone. 3.
Yes.
This is also a rising tone, but it doesn't go as high as the last tone. 4.
Yes.
This is a fall-rise tone. 5.
Yes.
This is a rise-fall tone. Now let's see what they mean. Notice that we don't usually say yes in natural spoken English. We say yeah. 1. Lectures begin tomorrow.
Yeah.
Here, yes means exactly what it says. 2. Lectures begin tomorrow.
Yeah.
This means do they? Are you sure? 3. Lectures begin tomorrow,
yeah.
And my supervisor,
yeah.
I think he's coming back from overseas.
Yeah.
This means, please go on. 4. Lectures begin tomorrow.
Yeah.
This means, I'm not sure that you're right. 5. Lectures begin tomorrow.
Yeah.
This means, that's great. These are only some of the possible intonation patterns in English. There are many more. However, the first two patterns, the rising tone and the falling tone, tend to be used frequently, and they are quite straightforward to learn. If we aren't sure about something, we ask someone to confirm or deny it. So we ask them a yes-no question. It's called a yes-no question because the answer has to be yes or no. Generally, we use a rising tone to ask this question. Listen to the following example.
Was that a railway square bus just went past?
Repeat. Was that a railway square bus just went past? Was that a railway square bus just went past? If we're talking normally and giving or asking for information, then we tend to use a falling tone.
No, it was a special.
Repeat. No, it was a special. However, even these two main patterns vary according to the situation and the speakers. For example, in the following dialogue, the speaker uses a rising tone to give information.
You been waiting long?
On about 20 minutes.
Repeat. You've been waiting long? You've been waiting long? About 20 minutes. About 20 minutes. Then the speaker uses a falling tone to ask a yes-no question. Listen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so you work around here?
Yeah, at the...
Repeat. So you work around here? So you work around here? Now, let's think about why the speakers use these patterns. Perhaps, in the first example, the speaker isn't quite sure about how long he's been waiting. So when he says, about 20 minutes, he uses a rising tone. In the second example, the speaker is probably fairly sure that the person he is talking to does work in the area. So he isn't asking a true yes-no question, but merely for confirmation of his opinion. And so he uses a falling tone. So you work around here. Notice also that the sentence has the structure of a statement, not a question. Well, now you can see that intonation is very complex. But please try and use it to make your spoken English sound interesting. If you don't change the intonation, people will find it very difficult to listen to you. If I use the same tone all the time like this, then people will probably fall asleep in this course. Now, listen to the following examples and repeat the intonation patterns. Just went past. Just went past. Was that a railway square bus just went past? A special. A special. No, it was a special. Waiting long? Waiting long? You've been waiting long? Twenty minutes? About 20 minutes? Terrible service along here, isn't it? Terrible service along here, isn't it? Sure. It sure is. Sometimes. I've waited 40 minutes for a bus sometimes. Work around here. Work around here. So you work around here. Post office. Post office. At the Kingsford Post Office. At the Kingsford Post Office. Aha. Aha. Before. Before. I thought I'd seen you before. Post office. Post office. That's my local post office. Blocks away. Blocks away. I live a couple of blocks away. Let's listen to the real dialogue. Repeat the intonation patterns the speakers use
Was that a Railway Square bus just went past?
No, it was a special.
Oh. You, been waiting long?
About 20 minutes. Terrible service along here, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. I wait 40 minutes for a bus sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so you work around here?
Yeah, at the Kingsford Post Office.
Ah, I thought I'd seen you before. That's my local post office.
Oh.
Yeah, I live a couple of blocks away.
Oh.
In general, the speakers have a neutral, impersonal attitude to each other, except at one point in the dialogue. Where does the attitude of the second speaker change? What is his attitude at this point in the conversation? You'll find the answer at the bottom of the page. Let's listen to the beginning of the dialogue between Patrick and Barry. Do you remember Patrick was showing Barry how to load a camera? Listen.
No, not like that.
Well, how? I mean, look, I'm not quite sure. Will you go over it and tell me again?
What is Patrick's attitude? What is Barry's? Let's try to imitate them. No. Not like that. Well, how? Look, I'm not quite sure. Will you go over it? And tell me again? Patrick is quite emphatic that Barry is doing it the wrong way. But he softens his command by hesitating. Barry is impatient and a little irritated, so he uses a lot of falling tones and finally a rising tone when he asks Barry to repeat the instructions again. This rising tone softens the way he asks Patrick, which is almost an order. Let's look at the intonation in one more dialogue. You've heard this dialogue before as well. A shop assistant is trying to start a conversation with a student. Listen to the last part of the dialogue. What are the attitudes of the student and the shop assistant?
What do you do?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm a student.
Oh, really? Really, what are you doing?
Psychology.
Oh, psychology. That must be fascinating. I suppose you know all about people as soon as you meet them.
Well, not exactly. Actually, I haven't started yet. We start in March.
Ah, I see. Do you want a coffee or something?
No, thanks all the same. Actually, I think I'd better be off. Nice talking to you.
Yeah, it was.
Let's try and imitate some of the intonation patterns. What do you do? What do you do? Me? Me? I'm a student. I'm a student. Really? Really? What are you doing? What are you doing? Psychology. 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 That must be fascinating. That must be fascinating. Not exactly. Not exactly. We start in March. We start in March. Do you want a coffee? Do you want a coffee or something? No. Thanks all the same. The shop assistant is very friendly and enthusiastic. He uses a lot of rise-fall intonation to show this. However, the student doesn't want to really talk to the shop assistant. He isn't really interested in his conversation or questions. So most of his intonation is falling. He doesn't want to encourage the conversation. He is rather sarcastic. We can hear this when he says, "Not exactly." The extra strong stress on the second syllable of "exactly" shows his sarcasm. So you see that intonation isn't the only feature which tells us the speaker's attitude. Now listen to the dialogue again and try and repeat the intonation patterns.
What do you do?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm a student.
Oh, really? Really, what are you doing?
Psychology.
Oh, psychology. That must be fascinating. I suppose you know all about people as soon as you meet them.
Well, not exactly. Actually, I haven't started yet. We start in March.
Ah, I see. Do you want a coffee or something?
No, thanks all the same. Actually, I think I'd better be off. Nice talking to you.
Yeah, it was.
Did you notice in the above examples that the intonation changed most on certain words or syllables? These words or syllables contain the information which we really want our listener to hear. We signal this by changing the intonation, by moving from one level to another. This movement takes place on one word or syllable, and we give this word a special name. It's called the tonic. Normally, the tonic occurs on the last important word in a word group or spoken sentence. The lecturer is overseas. Here, overseas is the tonic, and intonation changes on the third syllable, sees. But we can change the position of the tonic to give emphasis to other information in the sentence. The lecturer is overseas. Here, lecturer is the tonic. So the lecturer, not the tutor or supervisor, is overseas. The lecturer is overseas. Here, is the tonic. So, he or she really is overseas. In the next dialogue, Jan and Dave are asking for directions to Chifley Square in Sydney. As you will hear, the tonic is used to identify important information in the dialogue. Listen. In the first part of the dialogue, the tonics have been underlined. See if you can underline them in the second part.
Here's a policeman. He's bound enough. Excuse me?
Yes?
Look, we're new here. We're trying to find Chifley Square.
Chifley Square?
Right.
Now, are you going to walk there?
Yeah.
Okay, it's about 10 minutes from here. You see those lights? The ones opposite Myers? Oh, sorry, it's Grace Brothers now.
Yeah, right.
Well, you head towards those and you just keep going. Walk past those shops and across a few more streets. There's Market Street and then King Street. And then you'll come to Martin Place.
Market Place?
Martin Place. Yeah, you'll know it. It's a pedestrian zone, big pedestrian zone.
Yeah.
Right, now you turn into Martin Place and you keep going until you get to Elizabeth Street. You with me? Elizabeth Street's the third cross street that you go through, right, okay?
Yeah.
Right, so then you turn left into Elizabeth Street and you go straight for a couple of blocks, right?
So, it's straight down Elizabeth Street?
That's right, straight down Elizabeth Street. Now, after a couple of minutes, you'll see the Qantas building. It's a big curved glass building next door to the Wentworth Hotel. And Chifley Square is right there, opposite. You got all that?
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Repeat after me. Head towards those, and you just keep going. Walk past those shops, and across a few more streets. There's Market Street, and King Street, and then you'll come to Martin Place. Market Place, Martin Place. You'll know it. It's a pedestrian zone. Big pedestrian zone. Now you turn into Martin Place and keep going until you get to Elizabeth Street. Are you with me? Elizabeth Street is the third cross street that you go through. Then you turn left into Elizabeth Street. And you go straight for a couple of blocks. Right? It's straight down Elizabeth Street. Notice the intonation pattern which the police officer uses when he's giving directions. He uses a rising tone when he's listing the directions. Head towards those, keep going. Walk past those shops, across a few more streets, Market Street, King Street, and then a falling tone for the last item in the list. You'll come to Martin Place. He checks that his listeners have understood, with a rising tone. Right? They answer with a falling tone, if they're sure. Yeah, yeah. And a rising tone, if they're unsure. Straight down Elizabeth Street? Well, we're nearly at the end of the first part of the course, and in the last lesson, we'll practice all the features which we've talked about so far.